Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube. I don't need to tell you what to do. Would you please follow the show on YouTube? YouTube.com/Stu Does America. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications every time we go live or post, whatever. Jasmine Crockett 2028, is that the president you want? No, of course not. But do you want her to be the Democratic nominee? Absolutely nothing else. Yeah, of course you do, or else you're racist. We've got shirts and mugs and stickers and all of our new merch line. You can check it out at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code Stu10, get 10% off your entire order. Corey DeAngelis is here to reveal who's really behind the upcoming Day of Defiance protests, only 2 days away. I hope you have your tree up. We'll also take a look at the latest in a horrible air crash in India. Really, really ugly. But we're going to start by doing the dumbest climate scam yet. And that's a high bar to clear. Let's see if we can do it. Peanuts or almonds? Rice or millet? Planet-friendly grocery shopping choices go beyond cutting meat. I know that's important for me. This is, I was pointed to this because of this video. It says, want to make more planet-friendly choices at the grocery store? From chickens to beans to olive oil, these swaps could reduce your carbon footprint. I can't even describe to you how much I hate this form of quote-unquote journalism where, like, you know, it's like, oh, these are just, hey, nice little tips you could do that just happens to completely support one side's political arguments. All right, like, whatever, you know, you want to do climate crap, you can do climate crap. You can if you want. This is the woman who put this little video together to teach you how to eat and shop at the grocery store. I hope you pay close attention. Here's the big difference that you can make.
Your grocery shopping habits can have a huge impact on the environment, but a few smart swaps can make a difference.
Okay. No, they cannot. And I hate this is, I mean, look, she seems like she's delightful. You know, seems like a nice lady. She's out there trying to make a difference. She's doing a little video and she didn't do, you know, kind of like cosplay of a social media influencer walking through the aisles, like selfieing herself as she goes through. And she's got all the fruits and vegetables in the background. This is a big business. You do this stuff online, you can make lots and lots and lots of money. They want to send you the important information that you need to understand what the impact will be on the climate. And so it's nothing about this particular reporter. I was very disappointed in whoever did this. I mean, they zoomed in on her lip. I don't know, she got a cold sore or something brewing there. I mean, like, that's unnecessary, okay? That's unnecessary, boys and girls. We don't need to do things like that. There's nothing wrong with this particular reporter as far as who she is as a person. I'm sure she really thinks she's doing something important, really thinks she's making a difference, but it's important to know the objective truth of the situation. It's important to know that all this effort that you're putting into these things doesn't accomplish anything. And I was a little, a little down on this video a little bit when I first watched it. And I thought, it's a little unfair for me to just say it does nothing. We should look at the details here. What is actually being suggested? Is this doable? What can happen? So let's go through it. Let's go through a couple of the tips here that we're supposed to do at the grocery store. And I want you to make sure you're writing these down fervently so that you can make sure you pay attention next time you shop in the store. Here's the tips to save the planet.
Sure, eating fewer animals and more plants is a big step in reducing your carbon footprint. But if you're not ready to say goodbye to chicken fingers and chorizo, experts say eating chicken instead of beef, even just once a day, can cut your diet's emissions almost in half. That's partly because cows burp a lot, which produces methane, a potent greenhouse gas. And processed animal products like cheese have a high impact on the planet. It takes about 10 pounds of whole milk to make 1 pound of cheese. Bye-bye.
Okay, so a couple suggestions made there. Number one, eating chicken instead of beef, even just once a day, can cut your diet emissions almost in half. Now, that's a big change for a lot of people. I mean, the average person eats beef about once a day. So eating chicken instead of beef once a day means that you never eat beef again. And again, that might be okay for some people. I don't mind avoiding it, but it might be on your diet. You might be like, you know what, for my health reasons, I'm going to do that. And that might be fine. However, you should know it's a big change in your life, okay? So that's one. But it's going to cut half your diet emissions, so I guess that's a big difference, right? And then 10 pounds of whole milk make 1 pound of cheese, bye-bye. She's saying bye-bye to cheese. I can't even describe to you how my life would be if I never ate cheese again. It's approximately 80% of my current diet. So I don't know what I would even do. But she's now eliminated cheese and beef from your life. We're 15 seconds into this video, and you're never having a cheeseburger ever again. Okay? These are the simple choices you can make when you're inside the grocery store. Now, we should also note, none of these changes have any actual current difference. And when I say they don't make any difference, I mean that sincerely. Like, if you just go there and to the grocery store and you don't take the beef package and instead you take the chicken package like she just did in the video, that doesn't make any difference as to how many cows there are. They're already born, okay? They're already there. In fact, these cows that are in your store, they're not even alive anymore. They've already been slaughtered. They're already there. The beef's already been produced and made, and all the emissions for the beef that's sitting in the store has already been emitted, if you will. So you should know that. It's not like you're actually making a difference when you make that choice. Now, in theory, over a long period of time, lots of individuals joining together over a long period of time might change the entire plan of the meat industry, and they might produce less cows, try to produce less beef. It certainly could make a difference in the long term. We've had some changes like that, I guess, over our history. But if the beef you're looking at in the grocery store goes unsold for long enough, they're just going to throw it out. First, they're going to lower the price for it. Then they're going to throw it out. That's what's going to happen. Or maybe they give it away. The bottom line is it's going to be eaten. And it doesn't matter anyway. Those emissions have already been emitted. Okay, more tips for you to save the planet.
The ultimate low-impact choice is plant-based proteins like legumes, beans, and tree nuts.
I'm sorry to break it to you, but rice is a big water sucker and greenhouse gas emitter. For alternatives that are easier on the planet, you can try millet, sorghum, and buckwheat.
No, I can't. Okay? No, I cannot. First of all, I'm sorry to hear that rice is such a water sucker. That's really bad. But the reason why people don't eat millet, sorghum, or buckwheat is because no one wants to eat millet, sorghum, or buckwheat. That's the reason why. It's just not an easy substitution. Oh, gosh, instead of rice, I'm going to have this thing that tastes exactly the same. Now, there's some similarities. I feel like I was trying to think of, have I ever in my life had millet? Have I ever in my life had sorghum? Have I ever in my life had buckwheat? I don't remember it, but I feel like I may have been in some frou-frou restaurant with some weird side, and maybe it was in there. Like maybe one of them, two of them. I don't even know, to be honest. I think they're all kind of grains. And they might be great. I don't know. But you could choose them if you want. I mean, millet doesn't even sound good. And then the only thing that sounds worse than millet is sorghum. That just sounds terrible. But maybe it's delicious. I don't know. So there's another one. Now, again, you've now stopped eating cheese, beef, and rice. You've now eliminated those three things from your world. Okay, fine. Let's keep going.
For fruits and veggies, local and in season is best. Keep an eye out for this ROC label. It stands for Regenerative Organic Certified. That's your sign these foods are grown with a lighter impact on the environment.
Okay, there you go. Regenerative, organic, and certified. That's very exciting. The organic food thing, you know, I felt like we kind of, it's already fallen out of favor. Like people don't really buy into it, but you might. You might be your thing. And again, if you got the extra cash, you want to pay a little bit more for organic vegetables, fruits, be my guest. But I guess that's less on the environment. Is that true? We'll get into that here in a second. Here's the last group.
And vegetable oil has a smaller impact than butter or lard. Tropical oils are healthiest in moderation, but palm oil is linked to deforestation. So check those labels.
I mean, I suppose it is. Palm oil, there's not a lot of forests of palm trees. You'd have to get the palm trees somewhere to make the palm oil. I will say when they're talking about deforestation for palm oil, what they're talking about is basically taking, and this happens in places like Indonesia, where they'll take a bunch of forests and they'll clear all the forests, all the trees. And then what they'll do is they'll plant different types of trees because they want to make palm oil. So what you're doing there is you're replacing trees for other trees. and then you're turning it into palm oil, and then you're planting even more trees. And then they just keep doing that. That's regenerative. However, you know, some people don't like that. So, I mean, I saw this video, I watched it, I couldn't believe what I was watching, because I just don't understand this world these people live in. I really don't. And how this is quote-unquote news from the Associated Press, not like Huffington Post, but the Associated Press, it's just bizarre. So I saw this and I tweeted this. To be clear, none of this does anything. Now, it's not the nicest tweet, I suppose. It's, you know, she's trying her best. But we should understand what these things do, because it's not without cost, okay? I mean, as I mentioned, a lot of the alternatives that we just talked about are a lot more expensive. So sure, financial cost is part of it, but really it's cost about enjoyment of life. What are you, you're changing your life like that. You're changing your life in those big, dramatic ways, and they're not small choices at the grocery store. Giving up beef and cheese is not a small choice. It's one of these things where we need to really understand what we're accomplishing with what we do on a day-to-day basis. And this is the place where all of these arguments fall apart. Every single one of these environmental arguments fall apart right here. Let's go through it. So what difference would this stuff make? You might think I could just say nothing and move on with my life like the tweet. But no, I had to look at each individual one. So let's go through them. Now, I want to show you a global apocalypse at the grocery store. What can you do by saving? Let's take the biggest one here, I think. Switching beef for chicken, okay? A lot of people love beef. Beef is a big, you know, issue when it comes to the environment. They're always talking about how it's bigger than even the transportation industry in the country when it comes to meat production. So beef to chicken, what would that do? Well, you start with the global emissions at 100%, okay? 100% of global emissions exist. Now, of course, they're not all from food. They're also from transportation and from power generation and all of these other things. So we're going to reduce our potential impact from 100% down to 25%, because 25% is how much of the global emissions are from food. Of course, not all global emissions from food come from the United States. We are yet, even though I know we're the biggest evil country in the world, we're a small slice of the country, the world's emissions. In fact, we're about 9% of the emissions on Earth. So that brings us down to 2.25% of global emissions are from the U.S. food sector. Of course, not all of the food emissions come from beef. Actually, only about 20% of those emissions in the United States food system come from beef. Now we're getting rid of course, the beef. That brings us down to now only 0.45% of global emissions. Now that's if we eliminated all beef completely. Now, of course, there's an issue with that because we're not eliminating all beef exactly. We're getting rid of all beef, but we're replacing it all with chicken. So when you go back through that, you're going to save most of the emissions from beef. Chicken is, I guess, lower on the emission scale from however they figure that out. So that brings you from 0.45% down to 0.38% of global emissions. Now, I want to stop here. We're at 0.38%. That's the maximum impact you can make. However, we should all step back and realize a lot of environmental organizations will stop there and they'll come up with some equivalent. Like that takes 9 zillion cars off the road and then just hope that you don't look it up. 0.38% wouldn't really make much of a difference anyway, but it would be ridiculous, right, for all of us to come here and say we're going to exist on the completely realistic standard of full compliance, right? You're never going to get everybody to do this. So I decided I was going to go back and look at history a little bit. What are the most successful efforts at this type of thing? Because the American people typically are not going to just react to your moralizing and just totally change what they do, right? They might change if they find out something's massively unhealthy or something like that. But generally speaking, when you're just coming at them and just being like, hey, we've got a moral cause, please change your actions. How does that work out? Well, not that well, typically, but let me give you the best examples. Number one, Meatless Monday. Did you know that Meatless Monday was a thing? I'm not talking about now where we're on social media and people are like, oh, how about Meatless Mondays? Meatless Mondays, and some areas Meatless Tuesdays, is part of our history as it relates to World War 2. So meatless Monday history. Food will win the war was the way that they talked about it back then. After the U.S. entered World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt raised the idea that if a meatless day observed one day per week in the U.S., it would free up to 30 to 40 ships that could be used for military purposes instead of for importing meat from Argentina, New Zealand, and Australia. In 1943, the U.S. government began rationing meat, limiting the supply to both restaurants and individuals. We even got these signs at actual restaurants at the time. Today is Meatless Tuesday. You'll find an extensive variety of choice dishes available, but no beef, no pork, no veal, no lamb will be served today. So how did this work out? Let's go through this for a second. Meatless Tuesdays was in the 1940s. The threat at the time, what was the threat? Well, basically Nazis will kill us if we keep eating meat. So you better stop, because the Nazis are going to kill us. A pretty serious threat, like the going to our patriotic instincts, right? The effort, how much effort did they put behind this? Well, it was pushed by the U.S. government in wartime. It was pretty freaking serious. Not to mention, not only did they push the message, you got to stop eating meat, but they also rationed meat to people. So it was a serious, serious, serious effort. What was the result of this? They got about a 15% reduction in meat consumption. Now, that's pretty good, actually. I mean, 15% is an amazing effort. The only other one I could come up with that kind of came close to that is right around the same area is plant-based milk. Now, plant-based milk started really in the 70s into the 80s when it was first kind of developed. No one really wanted it back then. The threat to make people do it was, well, it was global warming. Maybe you have bad health, but there was always that threat kind of living there. How much effort has been put behind it? Well, the plant milk industry spends billions and billions and billions of dollars a year in advertising. So that's the effort. And the result, it's going to be 15% of the milk market today is plant-based. So again, you talk about the home runs in this world. What's the best you can possibly do? Let's expect about 15%. We'll give it a very optimistic compliance rate of 15%. So now we're at the point where this effort of changing all your beef into chicken in your entire existence, that now is going to drop global emissions by 0.06%. 0.06%. So what does that mean in real life? Well, if you believe this climate apocalypse is coming at our current rates, this would delay our climate apocalypse by 5 hours. Now think about what you've just done. You've stopped eating beef completely in your entire life and now are only eating chicken. Some people wouldn't like that. They don't see that as a real substitute for beef. When they want beef, they want beef. But you've now added 5 hours of climate savior time to your ledger. 5 big hours. Let's go through all of these real quick. I did all the calculations on these. Yes, I'm a loser. Switching beef to chicken will get us 5 hours in the climate apocalypse. Eliminating all cheese in your life will add another 1 hour and 10 minutes. 1 hour and 10 minutes. You can just leave this up. Switching all rice to millet. Again, you're not substituting something good. Switching all rice to millet will add you another 21 minutes. And then here's a big problem we're about to have. Remember, the next one was switching all fruits and veggies to organic. And that sounded really good. Remember, she said less environmental impact. The problem is organic veggies and fruits actually cause more emissions because they are not as densely planted. And they don't, it's a complicated formula, but basically it costs about 40% more emissions than conventional. So that's going to actually add back those same 21 minutes you just saved from switching from all rice to millet. So you've now delayed all of these changes, switching beef to chicken, eliminating all cheese, switching all the rice you'll ever consume to millet, switching all the fruits and vegetables you'll ever have to organic. You've now saved yourself 6 hours and 10 minutes. Not even half a day have you actually done. Now, if you want to go out and turn your life into some micromanaged hell to prove to yourself that you have virtue, I suppose you can go do that. Congratulations. I hope you have a good time with all of that. You can do it. You should just know it's not going to accomplish anything. If every leftist fact about global warming, all the science is real, everything's perfect, they understand the climate perfectly, if all that were to be true, you'd be adding about 6 hours making all of these changes. Does that make any difference at all? I would say no. This is not like, we're not going back to Al Gore criticism here. My criticism here is not even on climate science. My criticism here is on how you live your life. How much torture are you going to allow to let these people who make 30-second YouTube videos run your life for you? It's ridiculous. Is there anyone actually living their lives that way? Now, we all know there's no chance there's going to be a 15% compliance rate on this. People will do it occasionally to make themselves feel good. They can tell their friends on social media how important they are, what kind of difference they're making. But in reality, the difference they're making is zero. Global warming is different than some of these other things. Like, if you talk about the obesity problem, America has an obesity problem. Tackling that, you yourself tackling your obesity, which, you know, I don't know, I certainly have had problems tackling that. But me tackling it for myself might make a difference to me. However, it makes no difference to the global obesity epidemic, right? It's what it makes a difference is to me. But there is a difference and a benefit to me. The climate crisis is only a collective benefit. There's no individual benefit to you to do this. It's only this weird global benefit that's out there in the ether. And when you calculate it, you're not making any difference whatsoever when it comes to that. People are thinking that they're making this big difference. And in reality, they're not. They're not making any difference at all. They have this masochistic desire to ruin their own lives. And I don't understand why anyone would do that. So to this reporter, who seems like a very nice lady, know what your life is here. Value your life. Your life is more important than making all these decisions based on this problem that you will make no difference in solving. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the fruits of capitalism. You live in an incredible country, the best place you ever could live at the best time you ever could live in it. You've got all the things you could possibly want right in front of you. Enjoy them. Celebrate this country. Celebrate what you have here. Celebrate capitalism. It's brought all of this stuff here to you. Thanks to God for creating it. I'm happy that I live in this country. I'm enjoying the fruits of this capitalist system that we have. And instead of just constantly fighting against it and acting as if you have to torture yourself to live some virtuous life, relax. Celebrate the wonderful things that we have, things that our ancestors would be thrilled we had access to. And then, I don't know, if you want it, have a cheeseburger. Now, have you heard of Caralluma? Well, it's an edible cactus from India, and some say it's nature's subtle reminder to eat a little less. Now, you might say to yourself, wait a minute, I want to have 45 cheeseburgers after hearing you talk about cheeseburgers. And that's fine. You can have that if you want. But my guess is you might want to make a change in your eating, not because of some crazy journalist telling you you have to, but because you just want to feel better about yourself and you want to feel better in your life. Caralluma is just one of the natural ingredients that doctors have added to lean. This isn't a weight loss supplement. And if you got big summer weight loss goals, you might not want to be taking those injections. If that's you, pay attention. Lean supports healthy blood sugar levels and helps manage your appetite and your cravings as well. Lean does even more. Its rare ingredients help burn fat by converting it into energy. And the best part is there's no needles involved, just real results. Doctors created a smarter, healthier way to shed pounds using the power of natural ingredients like Caralluma, which is fun to say. It also seems like it could be a singer. Caralluma. Want to try it yourself right now? Go get 20% off with the code STU20 at TakeLean.com. The code is STU20 at TakeLean.com. Check it out now. TakeLean.com. The code is STU20. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease and is not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
You know, yesterday we went, I think it was yesterday, we went through a list of all of the protests slash riots that have happened since, you know, Donald Trump came down the escalator. And man, it was a lot of them. I mean, it was, you forget about several of them as you go through time. It just seems like these guys are on the streets all the time. Do they have jobs? I have no idea. But they're on the streets all the time. They're constantly burning our cities to the ground. We saw this happen, of course, most recently in Los Angeles. But that's not the end of this. L.A. is not the end of this. We expect this to grow like crazy. One of the things we're going to see, the left is planning to rise up all across the country on June 14th, only 2 days away from where we are right now. They call it a nationwide a day of defiance. So who's behind this? Corey DeAngelis has an answer to that. He's a senior fellow for the American Culture Project, economic research visiting fellow for the American Institute, and author of The Parent Revolution, Rescuing Your Kids from the Radicals Ruining Our Schools. Corey, thanks for coming back on the program, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Stu, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you tweeted something pretty interesting about what we're about to see in a couple of days. I don't know that, I mean, look, we all know progressive groups are going to get involved in rallies like this. But you had a name that everybody should remember.
Yeah, it's Randy Weingarten's behind these over 1,000 protests all across the country starting on Saturday, June 14th, which also happens to be Trump's birthday, Flag Day, and the 250th anniversary of the Army. And Randy Weingarten just this week held a town hall getting all the troops mobilized to get people fired up to go protest in the streets. You remember 2020, they had the Summer of Love where there was fiery but mostly peaceful protests. I predict a Summer of Love 2.0 coming on Saturday. They have over 1,000 of these riots planned. And in their planning meeting, Randy Weingarten's co-host called to replicate LA, to basically, they said, to quote unquote, stand in solidarity with Los Angeles. So imagine Los Angeles happening all across the country, which this raises the question, why in the hell are the teachers unions behind this? Well, first of all, they're political activists. They care more about politicizing education than teaching your kids the basics, math, reading, and writing. They don't just want to inject the politics into the classroom, though. They want to take over the entire country, cause chaos in the streets. And so this shows that they're not about educating. They're a political animal, the entire teachers union industry. 99% of their campaign contributions go to Democrats each election cycle. It's a money laundering operation. But Stu, it's actually worse than that, because with this illegal immigration issue, they know that if there's deportations, if we stop the illegal immigration, that will hurt their bottom line, because public schools are funded based on the number of students there, their enrollment numbers. If you have fewer illegal immigrants in the schools, they are going to lose a ton of money. And the teachers unions, people like Randy Weingarten, who make over $500,000 a year, they're going to be hurt as well financially. And guess what? They get more money per student if they have a non-English language speaking student in so many states across the country. So they get a bonus if it's an illegal immigrant that doesn't know English. They get even more money than the average amount. So now it all kind of makes sense as to why the teachers unions would be behind this. But you would have thought they'd learned something after they stepped on a rake during COVID, showed families all the corruption in the classroom, the rot in the government school system through Zoom school. Conservatives are pissed. Now we've had 17 states past universal school choice, New Hampshire going all in, being the most recent this week. And so you'd think they would have learned, but now they're taking it a step further. They're over here like, hold my beer, unions of 2020. We're going to continue showing you just who we really are. I don't think they can reverse course. They've been so drunk on power for so long.
Yeah, you know, it is really interesting because, you know, of course, to the average person, the teachers unions, they might not follow these stories like you do. And they think to themselves, well, these are people trying to educate my kids. They might be a little bit on the left. I mean, that's not a huge surprise, I suppose, in public life these days. But like this, getting behind an effort like this, this is something that is far. These are most of the groups that are working into this are hardcore, you know, left wing socialist groups, you know, hardcore climate activists, you know, the Peace and Freedom Party. I mean, we're talking about groups that are kind of way out of the mainstream of America. And then like in the middle of this are the teachers unions. I mean, do the average American people even have any idea that this is going on?
They don't. I'm really happy we have social media and, you know, people like myself, to be quite honest, looking into these things, because people have their everyday jobs. They have a lot of other things to do. Right. People have their kids to raise. People have their 9-to-5 work hours. And so I'm glad that I can share this information on social media, have people like you amplify it even further on your networks outside the mainstream media, to be able to just educate the rest of the population. Because yeah, most people think teachers unions, and they think teachers, and they think, you know, they might have friends or family members who are teachers, but the teachers union is not synonymous with the rank and file members of the who work in the schools. There are a lot of great public school educators out there, and the unions, people like Randy Weingarten, they're hurting the teachers more than anybody else, because they're not only trapping kids in failing government schools, but they're making the profession look bad. I mean, they're locked arms with this individual project fighting for these nationwide protests. The Indivisible Project is the person who co-hosted that rally with Randy Weingarten this week, calling for mass resistance and mass protests. And they're funded by George Soros. I mean, they're far left radical activists who want to uproot this entire country. They want to turn it on its head. They want to have chaos in the streets so that they can have their Marxism infiltrate even more institutions. This is why they fight against school choice too, because they want to have a monopoly on the minds of your children. And when they fight for all these ridiculous policies, they don't just make the profession look bad. They also fight for more dues paying members. They fight for more staffing and administrative bloat over time, which means more of a bottom line for Randy Weingarten to push for more of a political pet projects and pad her own pockets. But it means less money for teachers. So if you look over time since 1970, although we've increased funding overall for public schools by 170%, even after adjusting for inflation, the teachers aren't seeing the money. They've only increased teacher salaries by 3% over that period. So, I mean, they have their priorities all messed up, not just on what they're focusing on in the classrooms and what they're doing outside of the classroom, but even, you know, they're not focused on the kids. We knew that, but they're not focused on the teachers either.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. It's good work if you can get it, I suppose, for Randy Weingarten. For people who might know the name Randy Weingarten from COVID, remembering her as a negative figure through that time, can you kind of give who she is? I know you watch what she does closely. It's, you know, it's part of your gig, your lot in life at this point, although I'm sure she has you blocked on Twitter. Can you kind of remind people who Randy Weingarten actually is?
Yeah, she hasn't blocked me yet, but the National Education Association has, Becky Pringle's union. That's the main largest union in the country, largest labor union. They have a federal charter, which that needs to be revoked. They should not have the backing of Congress. It makes zero sense. But Randy Weingarten does close all of her replies on Twitter, like she closed the schools. Her and Becky Pringle's union, they lobbied the CDC to make it more difficult to reopen schools during COVID. They said it was about safety. It had nothing to do with safety. The private schools were open. Grocery stores were open. Bars were open. Everything else was open. Daycares were open. They were even closing some schools in some places, but then they'd have the daycares open. In one place in California, there was actually a private school that rebranded as a daycare just so that they could serve the needs of their customers, even though they were still a school. But the public schools fought to remain closed. People like Randy Weingarten knew they could profit from doing that too, because they could use that as leverage and say, well, we'll open if you give us even more money. They've received $190 billion in so-called COVID relief since March of 2020. They didn't use that money for reopening schools. They used it for hiring more members, which again meant more dues, which then they could funnel back to their buddies in the Democrat Party. I mean, it's an incestuous relationship. The Democrat Party is basically a wholly owned subsidiary, the teachers unions at this point. And this is the only reason why you have Democrats voting against school choice. It's a nonpartisan issue. I mean, you have Democrats, Republicans, Independents. They want to choose their school. They don't want their kids trapped in these failure factories that we call public schools. If you look at who uses school choice programs, Democrats overwhelmingly use it, support it. You look at polling, supermajority support across party lines. It just so happens that the elected officials on the Democrat side, they receive so many endorsements and political contributions. You look at the New Jersey governor's race that just happened. I just flipped through the headlines yesterday. The teachers union boss out there, the New Jersey Education Association, he received $20 million from his own union indirectly through a PAC, but he still came like in last place with 10% of the vote. But it just shows you that they funnel so much of this money that in a way it's almost extorted from the taxpayer, because we have to pay for the public education system and teachers unions feel like they have to pay the dues or else they'll get bullied at school, or, you know, in some places they feel like they need that liability insurance, even if they disagree with the unions politically and everything that they're doing in the streets. And that money gets funneled to the unions, their political projects, and ultimately to the Democrat Party. And so I think the Republicans have finally woken up on this issue and said, you know what, we need to lead on this issue because we're on the right side of history. And now 17 red states, including our home state of Texas, going all in on school choice. There's still more work to be done, even in Texas, but there's just been so much momentum. The wind is at our backs. And we got to thank Randy Weingarten. She stepped on a rake. She overplayed her hand. She showed everybody what kind of lunatics are running the union. Do you want people like her raising your kids or educating your child at school? No, it's free advertising for homeschooling, and it's also free advertising for school choice. This is why I dedicated my book to Randy, for overplaying her hand and awakening a sleeping giant, the parents who have started a revolution, a peaceful one, all across the country, just reclaiming the education of their child, saying, hey, that money's meant for my kid, not for you, not for the adults. The education system's supposed to be for the child, not the teachers, not the employees, not Randy Weingarten. And so the money should follow the child, which, you know, that leads to competition. It leads to the public schools doing a better job, focusing more on the basics. It's a win-win solution. And it's a beautiful sight to see. We've come so long, so far in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, and it is really legitimately true. Without Randy Weingarten, this wouldn't have happened. I mean, I remember, you know, conservatives and libertarians talking about this policy for decades and really getting nowhere on school choice until your efforts, Corey, are very important in this as well. But got the assist from Randy Weingarten. Hopefully she's not as successful with these protests this weekend. Corey DeAngelis, be sure to grab a copy of his book. It's called The Parent Revolution, Rescuing Your Kids from the Radicals Ruining Our Schools. It's available wherever you get your books. Corey, thanks for all your hard work on this, and really appreciate you coming on the program.
Thanks so much, Stu. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely terrible story coming out of India. Air India flight headed to London with more than 240 aboard crashed after the takeoff. If you've seen the video of this, it is terrible. It is just a giant fireball. Basically took off like right after, came back down to the ground, maybe 30 seconds after, crashed into a part of a college, killed some people on the ground as well. I mean, it was a really, really terrible incident. It was a Boeing flight, another Boeing plane, although it's the Dreamliner. I think it's never crashed before, this particular plane, and it's been in operation for a long time now. So amazingly, on the good side, one person actually has survived. We don't know if there'll be any more than that, but at least one person has actually survived. It's already telling the story about what happened. So absolutely crazy development there. And just, you know, awful, awful. We hope and pray for more survivors in India. Let me go to New York. Mom Donnie, who is the kind of socialist candidate in the New York mayoral race, surging in a new poll and now leading Andrew Cuomo. Are you kidding me? Leading Andrew Cuomo in this race. It's the first time. Zohran Mamdani. Now, he is straight out running like a socialist campaign. He's telling everybody that rents will never go up. He's actually legitimately saying he's going to start New York City government grocery stores. That is like legitimately one of his plans. Oh, yeah, we're going to take all the profit out. I mean, he's like arguing against profit. This guy's going hardcore. And this is what makes this race really fascinating. Now, one thing that makes it fascinating is this. Andrew Cuomo is awful.com. It's true. He's still awful. It's funny because I keep talking to some of my friends who are in New York, and they can't stand Andrew Cuomo either, based on the fact that he's a horrible, horrible human being and he's awful. And, you know, some of these people are like, you know, they hate him enough to have their own Andrew Cuomo is awful mug. They may or may not have that. What's fascinating about this is there's some real unease about how this race is going, because Cuomo is really, really bad. But what he is he is certainly a leftist. He is certainly a horrible human being in every single way. He's certainly a very corrupt, in my opinion, as well. But he does at least understand that, you know, business is an important part of the world. Like, you know, he's not necessarily completely an anti-capitalist. He likes the elements of capitalism that personally enrich him, which is at least that's more than Mamdani likes. Mamdani is like absolute socialist slash communist running for office. They asked him who his favorite mayor was. He said, what's his face? What was his name again? Bill, anyone? No one can remember the mayor's name. It's de Blasio, thank you. Bill de Blasio. He said his favorite mayor was Bill de Blasio. Anyway, this guy's a catastrophe, endorsed by AOC, to tell you how bad they are. So I want to see a poll that has Cuomo, Mamdani, and jumping off the George Washington Bridge as options and see where people would go. I think I'd be in category three on that one. If you're looking for a baseball update, by the way, did you know the hottest team in the major leagues right now is the Toronto Blue Jays? Just want to let you know, America's team. It's doing great right now, but not so great if you happen to be a fan of the Democrats. The Republicans drub Democrats 13-2. I like the use of drub, a drubbing. 13-2 in the fifth straight congressional baseball game win. You think the left would be able to be a little more competitive. Apparently not. I don't know. I hope they don't go back to their old strategy, which was killing all the Republicans in the middle of their practices. I kind of hope we're past that point, but we will see. I want to take a break. I'll come back on the other side. I've got a list of the best fast food fries. There's been a poll. We'll tell you about it next. A surprising number of standard investment portfolios include companies actively opposing conservative principles. I don't know if it's that surprising, honestly, but investors don't know it all the time, and they have hard-earned dollars that they've made doing the things that they believe are important, and they're unknowingly supporting causes they would never actually donate to themselves. The good news is, though, investors can do something about this. You can take action through strategic investment choices and thoughtful shareholder advocacy. That sounds like a lot of work. It is. That's why you have to have Constitution Wealth do it for you. Okay, they exist specifically for this reason. Their advisors understand conservative values deeply and respect what matters to you. Unlike many financial firms, Constitution Wealth carefully selects companies based on their alignment with conservative American principles, ensuring your investments reflect your beliefs. Take back control of America's future. Visit constitutionwealth.com/blaze for a free consultation today. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Constitution Wealth is a registered investment advisor. You should review Constitution Wealth's disclosures at constitutionwealth.com to understand their services and fees. All investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. This is a paid endorsement. I am a client of the firm. My opinions, however, as always, are my own.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Well, we have some shocking news from the world of fast food. A travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a travesham mockery. At least most of it is. Some of it's really good. The best fast food fries. They've got a list. Well, they got a top 10 list, but for some reason, they actually had 12 on the list. So I'll give them to you here. They have number one, In-N-Out. And if you never had In-N-Out, basically In-N-Out is like they've got a potato. They put it through a shredder. They throw it in the fryer. There's like nothing done to them other than salting them. Super fresh, for sure. I like In-N-Out fries, but like I wouldn't put them at the top of my list. Second is Shake Shack, who I would put at the top of my list. Shake Shack, I think, I would argue, potentially number one on the entire list. Crinkle cut, delicious. Three is Freddy's steak and shakes and steak burgers. Bojangles is next. Chick-fil-A, the waffle fries, delicious. Cane's is next, Zaxby's, Arby's, Hardee's at 2.86, which is now in ninth place. 10th, Checkers and Rally's. Checkers and Rally's are delicious. Their fries, me and Dave Landau, we were just talking about this the other day. They're freaking delicious. They're like curly fries, but straight. I love them. Checkers and Rally's. And then the last two, in 11th place, McDonald's. Yeah, they're not even on the list of the top 10. They're 11th, and in the article it says 12th was KFC. They were absolutely last. So that's where you go. Wow, I feel like there's some shocking developments there. We might have to do a whole monologue on that next week. I don't even know. All right, before I go, make sure we have Father's Day coming up just a few days away, right after the National Day of Defiance. I hope you enjoy both. Head to StudentsAmerica.com. Great gift if you're running late and you're coming back from college, like, oh, crap, I got to get Dad a gift. Get them, StuDoesAmerica.com. They'll give you the entire Blaze TV lineup. Dad30 is the code. You'll save $30 off the Blaze TV subscription. Again, StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is Dad30.